I'm Catherine Lamfer.
And I'm Todd Zwillick. Former Vice President Dick Cheney spoke in Washington yesterday and positioned himself only a few blocks away and only a few minutes after a speech by the president on America's national security strategy. Cheney defended his views on the interrogation tactics he helped to implement under the Bush administration.
Today I want to set forth the strategic thinking behind our policies. I do so as one who was there every day of the Bush administration, who supported the policies when they were made, and without hesitation would do so again in the same circumstances.
Well, Vice President Cheney isn't vice president anymore, but he's sure not giving up on criticism or on aggressive debate or on trying to get what he wants out of Washington. So we're going to talk with someone who can hopefully help us get inside Dick Cheney's brain a little bit. Jake Bernstein is a reporter for ProPublica, and he's co-author of the Cheney biography, Vice, Dick Cheney and the Hijacking of the American Presidency. Jake, Cheney, the former vice president, said yesterday, in effect, that if he had the chance to do all of this all over again, he would do it exactly the same way. Is that the Dick Cheney that you know?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, this is not a guy who second guesses himself or changes his mind later on. I mean, he's very consistent.
Okay, he's very consistent, so he doesn't change his mind like maybe a lot of men his age, certainly a lot of politicians his age, I guess. But it's a longstanding tradition in Washington that former presidents, former vice presidents kind of fade into the background a little bit and let the new administration do their work. But Cheney's not doing that at all. He's not only speaking out, he's scheduling a speech right after Obama's. He schedules it a few blocks away from the National Archives in Washington. Does this kind of behavior surprise you at all?
Yeah, what is that old saying? We can't miss you if you won't go away. this is very unorthodox for a vice president or a president to speak out like this. But given the stakes and how firmly and passionately he believes in this stuff, ultimately, I don't think I'm surprised.
Okay, well, let me play you another cut from the speech yesterday because it sort of goes back to what you were saying, that the vice president is a man who doesn't change his mind, but he's also commenting on how we're going to change our national security strategy now that there's a new administration in town.
I was and remain a strong proponent of our enhanced interrogation program. The interrogations were used on hardened terrorists after other efforts had failed. They were legal, essential, justified, successful, and the right thing to do.
Anything new from the vice president here? Have we heard all this before? Is there anything new in his message yesterday?
Well, we've heard it before, but there's certainly evidence out there that seems to contradict what he said. It's not clear or decided that other techniques wouldn't have worked just as well. And in fact, the FBI was getting some results from sort of regular interrogation before torture was used or enhanced interrogation techniques, whatever they're calling it. The vice president likes to speak with firmness and as if all these matters are closed, but it's not quite as clear-cut as he laid out in the speech.
You know, there's been some suggestion that at the end of the Bush administration, Dick Cheney had to keep quiet, even though things weren't always going his way, that some of the policy was strained from his direction. So whose legacy is he trying to protect here with all of these speeches?
Well, I think he's definitely it's not just his legacy that he's trying to protect, although that's clearly part of it, but it's an ideology that he's trying to protect. You know, he believes in a strong executive. He believes in this wartime president that has sort of unfettered power. He's going to fight for that. That's something that he wants. He thinks is the direction of America should be, and he's not going to back away from that. There's also a loyalty factor here, and you can see it in this speech. I mean, the way he ends, his closest aides were in the forefront of pushing this policy. In particular, David Addington, who was his legal counsel and then his chief of staff. And so he's going to do everything he can to try and protect them.
Because he might be, well, Addington and John Yoo and potentially Jay Bybee, who's a judge now, were all lawyers at the Office of Legal Counsel, and there's potential legal trouble for them ahead. Do you think he's trying to sort of preemptively defend them in the court of public opinion?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they're not people who can particularly speak out and he can. And he's very, I mean, he believes that loyalty is very important. He was very upset about what happened to his former chief of staff, and so he's
Scooter Libby,
and so he's not going to he's going to try to avoid that happening to his other lieutenants.
Okay, so motivations aside, Jake, what can the vice? I want to ask. How well can the former vice president really affect the debate in Washington? Is he trying to affect it on an emotional ground, on a policy ground? Certainly the Republicans in Congress have been throwing bombs on Nancy Pelosi for who knew what and when. It seems like almost like a political attack. Is Cheney trying to shift the debate on policy grounds? What's he trying to do here?
Well, it's really interesting, actually, because John McCain told a reporter yesterday that you know, obviously the vice president can speak if he wants. He's free to talk. But McCain said, I just don't see where it helps.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I think there are a lot of Republicans who would love to see Dick Cheney go away. In a lot of ways, I think this helps Obama. It allows him to form, to crystallize sort of an opposing idea. Cheney is sort of a straw man. I mean, I think it's a good thing for Democrats probably. So I'm not entirely sure how effective Cheney will be in pushing his thought across. I mean, there's some speculation that he wants these ideas out there in case, heaven forbid, there is another terrorist attack, and then he can say, I told you so.
Mm-hmm.
What the effect of this will be or how long Cheney will be able to sustain his argument remains to be seen.
All right. Well, let's hear from the president because we've spent this entire segment talking about the former vice president, his criticisms of the current administration. Let's give a listen to Barack Obama. It sounds like a rebuttal, but his speech actually came first yesterday. So let's give a listen to this.
I know some have argued that brutal methods like waterboarding were necessary to keep us safe. I could not disagree more. As Commander-in-Chief, I see the intelligence. I bear the responsibility for keeping this country safe. And I categorically reject the assertion that these are the most effective means of interrogation.
Applause line. So the president knew what the vice president, the former vice president, was going to say before he said it.
Yeah, I mean, there aren't any surprises here, not really from the president and certainly not from the vice president, a former vice president. I mean, their positions at this point are pretty clear.
Okay, then let me ask you about the politics real quick, because there is also a school of thought in Washington. Well, there's not a school of thought. There is a battle for the soul of the Republican Party. They're in the minority in the House and the Senate. They don't have the White House. And you sort of see this battle of Republicans trying to decide who they're going to be in the future. One school of thought says, well, the country might be more moderate than we are. They elected Barack Obama. They sent us into the minority, even in conservative districts across the country. We need to appeal to a much broader swath of the American public. And here comes Dick Cheney. He's been on TV more than once. Basically saying, no, we have to crystallize our party, be more conservative, more defined, maybe spend a couple years in the wilderness and tell people who we really are. So it seems to me that there's a political element also to what he's doing.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's a really important subtext, Todd. Cheney sort of espouses and embodies a certain kind of authoritarianism strain in the Republican Party, and he thinks that that's not only an important, you know, ideologically and correct ideologically, but it's a winning strategy. I mean, I really think that Cheney probably believes that at some point or another, the country is going to want more of that authoritarianism, and if the Republican Party stays true to that, then they will be there when the country needs that.
Okay, but you just mentioned McCain and other Republicans who are saying he can talk when he wants, but it doesn't necessarily help us. Are Republicans going to continue to allow him to have this bully pulpit?
Well, I mean, there's not much they can do about it.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, he's got the think tanks, and he's supposedly working on a book, and I think we're going to have Cheney for a while.
You think we've got Cheney for a while?
Yeah, I mean, unless, you know, heaven forbid something happens to him,
okay.
But I don't think he's going away. I mean, this is not one final lap. I think he's got a lot more laps left in him.
Okay, well, more debate to come on national security, more debate to come on the future of the Republican Party. We expect the former Vice President, Dick Cheney, to be part of it all. He's not going anywhere. Catherine, Jake Bernstein is a reporter for ProPublica, co-author of the Cheney biography, Vice, Dick Cheney and the hijacking of the American presidency.
You know, he said no middle ground on national security. There's really no middle ground on his politics either.
Well, there isn't, but somebody has found middle ground on national security. It appears to be President Obama, which might be right where he wants to be, which is interesting.
We'll talk about that later.
Yes, we will.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.